Yeah! NBA Straya! How you going? That's right, it's NBA Straya. It's Friday, January 24, the day before a long weekend. And I am your host, James Clements. That's right, I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Dribble J, Junkie Rare, Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while wrapping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. And we also take shit a bit chill. I'm not too serious about it, that sort of stuff. I'll leave that to the nerds. So Ripper NBA Day today, we've got the All-Star starters announced. And everyone was like, yeah, we're pretty chill about this, yeah, typically. And three fun-ass games, which is some good stuff. Really good stuff. So we'll talk about that in the game wraps, as well as all the usual dumb arsery. That's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night, pantsing in the evening, and better than Lonzo Ball. And we are joined by one of our Kickstarter legends, Paul. Paul Arney is popping by for Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, as well as the Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job, and he helps pick and preview all the games for the entire weekend, which is awesome. That's brought to you by faceup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your sweet NBA betting needs. That's really fun. It's awesome having Paul on. Good chats, good talks. He's also got a couple of nice little insights about young Dante and young Ben Simmons. Big Simo. It's good stuff. All right, we're going to close out with a Cooking with Bainesy to wrap up your week. It's pretty good stuff, man. Great show. Awesome fun. Let's get to it. NBA Show episode 396. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Oh, you better watch out for the attack of what? The Pascal Siakam Siakam if you're Jimmy Butts Butler, huh? Isn't that right? Yeah. Got outvoted, pal. A strange twist, everybody hates Jimmy Butler. All right, we're going to start today's show with the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right. We did have the All-Star starters announced coming out of the East. Pretty obvious stuff, really. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Israel Capitan, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam Siakam, Trae Young, Ice Trae, and Kemba Walker. Unreal. That's right. No Kyrie, no Jimmy Butler. Good stuff. Feel okay about that. And in the West, your starters are LeBron James as El Capitan, Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, James Harden, and Kawhi. Nice. But some fun stuff in the voting, if you have a look at it. Some awesome little insights. Did you have a look at this? Did you look at the actual votes? So in the East, Jimmy Butler came in sixth in the player votes. So that sort of tells you a lot about everyone thinking that he's a fucking dickhead. It's like, Jimmy, we get it. You like country music. Can you stop fucking playing it in the locker room, you dickhead? Fuck. Kyrie, for his part, came in seventh because everyone thinks he's a fuckhole as well. So could you imagine that if you're a player in the NBA? You're like, what am I going to do, vote for Kyrie? He's going to sit there and throw me under the bus if we lose the All-Star game. And he's going to sit in the fucking locker room and like talk shit and go like, hey. Do you reckon the Earth's flat? Hey. Oh, but like, what if, I don't know, the Earth was flat? It's like, fuck off, Kyrie. You're such a dickhead. So, of course, he got voted seventh. That's good. Brad Beal actually came in second on the players' vote ahead of Trae Young, which is pretty cool and pretty interesting. Just misses out on a starting nod, though, thanks to the fan vote where he really copped it. That's the problem of playing in Washington when they're shit, I guess. Tough one. And Taco Fall, Big Taco, came in 21st of the player votes and 7th in the media votes. It's pretty funny. But it was like right up there in the fan votes. So good stuff. And finally, Big Simo Ben Simmons came in 4th for the players and 3rd for the media. Crushing it, but comes in 8th in fan voting. Jesus, Big Simo. Copping it. But I don't know. You get the vote splitting, I guess, with Embiid a little bit, but... yeah, it's a tough one. Tough one. In the West, you had Zinger. The Extreme Zinger Meal himself. God damn, Zinger.
The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Comes in 7th from the fans, 11th from the players. They clearly hate the Latvian gangbanger. Karl-Anthony Towns comes in 9th from the fans and 13th from the players. Jesus. Everybody thinks he's a fuckhead, obviously. Melo, Melo, is it me you're looking for? Got more player votes than Rudy Gobert. Which is what, Melo's barely played this season. He got more player votes than Rudy Gobert, the like defensive player of the year. Massive all-star fucking favorite. Rudy comes in 11th fan votes, 9th players, and 5th in the media. Fucking hell. I don't get no respect. Devo Booker came in 8th with the fans, 4th for the players. Fans are only just catching on to the whole Phoenix thing. The players get that Steph is injured. He came in 21st for the players, 6th in fans, though, you idiots. What are you doing? And the Caruso. Alex Caruso gets fucked by the player and media votes. Doesn't make the top 10 with the weighted voting. Even though he came in ahead of Rusty Westbrook. Which is fucking hilarious, I'll tell you what. And so, yeah, Caruso really got sucked in. He did get more All-Star votes than Rusty, more fan votes. Rusty comes in 5th among the guards. Caruso comes in 4th. That's fucking hilarious. Crazy scenes. Anyway, some other interesting tidbits floating around for news. Montrezl Harrell. I don't know, man. Reckon there's a bit of a problem there in Clipperland. There's a great piece on The Athletic today about Harold, about how everybody feels a little bit uncomfortable in that locker room and how he's rubbed them the wrong way a little bit, and how his post-game mood can always be dictated by more than, basically by only his individual box score performance and not whether or not the team won. Yeah, no shit. The dude's trying to get fucking paid. And of course, Montrez has also talked at length about his struggles with mental health, so I don't know, maybe we shouldn't pile on the fucking bloke. Just saying. And finally, the MRI on Josh Richardson showed a slight strain of his left hammy and is expected to be re-evaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll see how we go there. Hopefully Richo will be back soon. Going to be interesting to see what happens with the Sixers in the meantime. All right, let's do some game wraps. We'll fly through these and then we'll get to hang out with Paul and do some yeah-nahs and some fun stuff. So 3 games today. Washington beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
I know, 124-112. Cavs led early. Wiz got in right in there, though, at 5 a.m., so he expected that. They're a bit tired. Then they woke up, and then they smoked him in the second and third quarters. A little run by the Cavs at the start of the fourth, but too little too late. Beal took over, 15 again in a heartbeat, and it was game over from there. For the Cavs, Sex Man, he had 29 points. He was awesome. Really good. The thing is with the Sex Man, there is still just so much fucking... Look, he's scoring efficiently, but there is so much just dribble, 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 dribble. What do I do? What do I do? Oh, fuck! And then, like, a last-second pass to somebody, they inadvertently just go, shit, why have I got the ball? And brick it, you know? Tough scene. But Sex Man, 29 points, 10 of 15 shooting. He was awesome. Still a lot of weird dribbling and nothing. Kevin Love, 21 points, 5 rebounds, resuscitated his buddy Brad Beal. That was pretty funny. 8 of 19 shooting, though, for Kevo. Kevo, that's not how you get traded, you idiot. Be great on Cleveland, wouldn't he? That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
Larry Nance Jr. had himself a game as well, 22 and 12. Darius the homie, Judy Garland, 13 and 4. And Tristan Thompson, that's not a trade spot either there, Tristan, so he didn't give a fuck, 6 and 3. The Wiz, they shot 55%, 16 of 36 from deep. It was a very big offensive day today across these three games. Beal had 36, he was awesome. Bertans and his stupid Amish beard, 17 off the bench, and Isaiah Thomas at 13, 3 and 4, 3 and 7 from downtown. So Cleveland, 12 and 33. They've lost 6 and straight now, which is pretty brutal. And Washington, the Wizards, 15 and 29, 11th in the East, sitting there right with Charlotte behind Chicago and Detroit. I don't know. Sellers or buyers? They've got to be sellers. Got to hope that John Wall comes back healthy next year, but at the moment, just in a weird no man's land. Anyway, Lakers beat Brooklyn, the Lakers, 128-113. Bit of a shit pumping in the end. Fourth quarter was just a bit of a laugher, really. Ripper game, not much D. Lakers had 75 in the first half. The Nets dropped 70 on them as well, which is the most the Lakers had given up in a half all year. And then, you know, the Lakers got up 10. Nets got back into it in the second. They got it back up. Carrots, Kyrie, Wilson! Chandler got going, but, you know, LeBron, AD, and Dwight Howard were really, really good. And, look, they got back up 10 at the start of the third quarter real quick, back and forth, and then the buzzer-beating three by Jared Dudley where he celebrated like he'd won the game, and they were still up 10 going into the fourth, and then 22 run. I think it ended up being a 26-2 run across the third and the fourth, and that was all she wrote for the Nets. Kyrie Irving, 20 points, 7-17 shooting, 4 assists, 4 turnovers. Thanks for coming, Kyrie. hey man, ever think about, like, you know, if the moon landing was faked? Shut up, Kyrie! Fuck! 16 for my sweet baby carrots and Wilson! Chandler had 15 points, hit 4 threes. You know, that's the exact sort of shit that they brought Wilson Chandler in for. Don't win the game, though. LeBron James for the Lakers had a triple-double. They were awesome, the Lakers, in this game. You know, Brooklyn are the sort of team that don't punch you in the mouth and the Lakers kick the shit out of them. That's how it goes. 27-12-10 for LeBron. He was awesome. 16-11 for AD. 14-12 for Dwight. First start with a New York City one-oak flu, I reckon, for JaVale McGee. He had 14-12. Pretty good showing by Dwight. Kuz chucked in 16. And the Caruso hit his first bucket in four games. I reckon Bleacher Report probably have 87 different angles of that. Apparently for his 8 points. Settle the fuck down. Anyway, Brooklyn suck. They're 18-25. They hit 21 threes in this. Tied for the most all season. And hilariously enough, they've lost both of those games. Lakers at 36-9 and rolling. And then finally today, the Dallas Mavericks beat PDX Pete's Portland Trailblazers 133-125. A wildly entertaining game. The extreme zinger meal out there was cooking early.
The extreme zinger meal.
And Dame fucking threw one up for the ages. He dropped 61 the other day. He drops 47 in this game. He was absolutely unreal. Did everything. He hit 8 threes and went 16-28 overall. 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 47 fucking points. 21 for the veteran presence of Trevor Ariza. 16 for Carmelo Anthony on 7 of 21 shooting.
Kobe! Melo!
Thanks, Melo. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists for Melo, but just missed way too many shots. Anthony Simons, 5 points on 7 shots. 20 off the bench for Gary Trent Jr. Swanigan. Got to get back in again. Back on the Blazers again. Not bad. 14-10 for Hassan Whinge and Hassan Whiteside as well. But the Blazers just couldn't keep quite up with the Mavs because they were awesome. Luka Doncic, 27-6-9. He was unreal. 17 for Brunson off the bench. Maxi Kleber, hello. 15-4. The extreme zinger. He was supercharged today.
Supercharged zinger burger.
Fucking loved his game. He had a massive dunk and then dropped a dirty big long three in the third quarter that really started fucking putting the torch to the Blazers, and it was awesome to see. On his zinger, 20-5 he ends up with on 6 of 11 shooting, 3 of 4 from downtown. Dorial Finney-Smith goes 3 of 5. Seth the shit one Curry goes 4 of 7 for his 17 points. 3 of 6 for Tim Hardaway the lesser. In fact, Luka Doncic was the worst 3-point shooter on the Mavs with his 2 of 11. Everybody else shot the fucking lights out. 22 of 47 they go. Win the game, even with, being out-rebounded by a little bit. They just shot so fucking well, it didn't matter. Crazy thing is, the Blazers went 21 of 39 and they lost. Can you believe that? So this was a really fun game. Either way, the Blazers dropped to 19-27 for the season. And the Mavericks, tell ya, amazing on the road. 15-5 away from home, 28-16 on the season. Good stuff. Now let's give away an NBA Australia approved performance of the night. What do you reckon about that?
That's a knife.
Bradley Beal, LeBron James, and Damian Lillard. Holy shit. Three amazing performances, I think, today. Brad Beal, 36 points, 8 assists, 15 of 22, 4 from deep. After 38 the night before against Miami in overtime. Amazing stuff. What a performance. Kept them in it late. Got them the win. Good stuff, Brad. Triple-double for LeBron James. 16th straight all-star naming. That's incredible. Not bad. Good size. But good shit. He was incredible today, too. Just really went to work on all the Nets. Like, basically, they were throwing, like, Wilson Chandler, throwing the Red Bull prints at him. Carrots would be on him on the odd occasion. And LeBron just fucking ate him up. 11 of 19 shooting. 12 rebounds. 10 assists. 27 points. Finally, 5 turnovers. He was a plus 26. The next best was, like, plus 12 for Dudley. Jesus, on you, LeBron. Good stuff. And Dame, are you kidding? Come on, dude. 47 after dropping 61? Jesus, cripes. 47 points, 8 assists, 16-28, 8 threes. He was amazing. Just a really fun night. It was some really good performances. So, yeah, I hope you dug it. And Luka, obviously, was really good, too. Really feeling himself, I feel like, in this game, too, early. And the zinger popped off, too. So it was great stuff. Good stuff. Just really good basketball today. All right, with that in mind, who was old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mate.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it is Fuck It Friday. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie, fuck them. Like, we think they're dickheads. It's really nice to know that the rest of the NBA players think the same. Because fuck you. I mean, if you... Like, Kyrie's clearly a dick. Jimmy Butler, it's like, hey, man, I'm in the fucking gym working out at 3 a.m. Well, cool. You fucking psycho. Fuck off. Yeah, it's Fuck It Friday. You guys can go fuck yourselves. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
That's right. Super Mario. 14 minutes for the Trailblazers. Goes 0-4 from the floor. 2 fouls, 1 rebound, and that's literally it. Minus 17 for Super Mario. Tough fucking scene, bro. Tough fucking scene. I mentioned a couple of the other guys. What was it? We had a rough one, I think, from Jordan McRae. Went 2 of 8. Tough scene there. 4 of 17 for Darius Garland. Talk about him later with Paul Arney. Yeah, tough, tough stuff. Avery Bradley against the Nets as well. Not great, bro. Not great. 1 of 8 for Avery Bradley, including 0 of 5 from downtown. So he goes, you know, 2-point game, 1 assist, 1 steal. Somehow ends up with a plus 10 in his 20 minutes, despite missing 7 shots. Good stuff. Panting of the night. Isaac Bonga got by the Sex Man. The Sex Man finished. Ew. All over Isaac Bonga. Tough stuff there for Isaac. I'm going to call him Isaac. I feel like it's weird that they pronounce it Isaac. It's like Ian Mahinmi. I don't want to care. I don't want to call him Jan. It's Ian. And Kyrie getting spiked by Anthony Davis like he was a hot chick in a Perth nightclub. Fucking hell, bro. Kyrie, you got. Fun stuff. A couple of other good ones today. Just some nice pantsings. I feel like it's almost a pantsing, though, every time either Zinger, the Extreme Zinger Meal, that's right, Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Or Dame just lights it up from a fucking, one of the logos. They basically cross half court, go, I'll shoot it. Pantsing for their defender. Good stuff. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball. Oh, wait, we've still got a dickhead of the week as well.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
The Sex Man today was better than Lonzo Ball. 29 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 10 of 15 shooting. Amazing stuff. 2 of 2 from deep. But as mentioned, it is pretty tough still watching the Sex Man learn the ropes in the NBA. Not what you'd call a pass first point guard. Hey, a lot of dribbling. But it's also like, you know, Cleveland just, you know, that's right, Stephen A. Smith, Cleveland! Just have a long storied history with dribble point guards. He's basically the heir apparent to Kyrie Irving. Dribble. That's the approach that he has. Being a pass to somebody who's half open and then have to shoot it because the fucking shot clock is down to 2 seconds because Colin or Kyrie's has dribbled the fucking air out of the ball. So yeah, I can imagine why Kevin Love would be frustrated with that. But anyway, Sex Man was still pretty fucking good today. 29 points, good stuff. And finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week!
I'm going to give this to both Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson because it was nice to see after me yelling about this a lot yesterday. I wasn't alone. I'm not just screaming into the void about their shitty performance during Zion's debut on yesterday's show and during yesterday's broadcast. It was nice to see other people agreed, so appreciate that. Thanks, everybody. Because, look, Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, if you're not fucking... Look, you don't have to be cheerleaders for the NBA. I get that. But if you're not at least fucking vaguely interested and excited and, like, at least, like, not shitting on a fucking 19-year-old who's getting over a busted fucking knee injury and, like, who kicked ass in college fucking less than a year ago... You don't have to be a cheerleader, but, like, be fucking engaged with the fucking game rather than suddenly just going, this dude is, like, taking over, scores 17 straight points, and then you're bitching about analytics? Fuck off, you dickheads. I called you knobheads yesterday. You dickheads today. You don't belong fucking in the prime seats of a broadcast if you're not going to at least go, hey, this is really fucking fun. You're there to, like, sell a product. Talk about the game, give us some insight, and not shit on it, you fucking idiots. killing me. And it was nice to see other people throw out some ideas about who they'd like to see commentate as well. I think I mentioned a bunch of them yesterday. Steve Nash was a good one that popped up. I think that was Koss. Good stuff, Matt. So yeah, some other good ones as well. So look, keep throwing them out there. We'll talk about that again next week, but always will. All right, let's go to my chat with and hanging out with Paul Arney for Yeah Nahs and the rest of the show. And it's really fun stuff, so get around that right after this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Yeah, house hats. All right, man, I promised it. At the start of this show, it's Yeah Nah, with a very special guest, Paul Arney. Paul, what's going on?
Mate, it is an absolute pleasure to meet you, Jimmy.
This is unreal, isn't it? In person, in Larry Armour studio, hanging out, doing some Yeah Nahs.
Loving it. Drinking some beers.
Drinking some Coronas. I think we've got the coronavirus.
Love it.
Not bad. All right, man, this is Yeah Nahs. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more Yeah or more Nah. And I don't know. Is this what you expected, Paul? The old Larry Armour studios?
Yeah, I think it's above. It's one step above what I thought it was going to be. Loving it.
Wow, what did you expect it was? I'm worried. All right, sweet. We've got a... So this is all part of Paul's Kickstarter package, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on the show, hang out. You got a T-shirt, you got a stubby holder as well, yeah?
Yep. Key nice. Ring, sticker, personalised sticker from Jimmy.
Love that.
Loving
shit.
Loving it.
So as part of that, come on the show, hang the fuck out, drink some tins. Off we go. Well, bottles today, but that's all right. Hard to get Corona tins over here.
They are. I looked, but then I can use my NBA Australia stubby holder opener to open them, so even better.
Nice.
Loving it.
All right, so we've got some Yeah Nahs. Well, we've got a couple of actually listener ones that got sent in. So the first one we got today was at Counterfeit Kobe. Bit worried about that. Do you reckon that's Kobe's actual burner account where he just trashes like every like LeBron fans? Like
everyone needs one, don't they?
They do. Anyway, ask, are the Pacers the new Spurs? Ooh, Paul, what do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. They don't have the big fundamental.
They don't.
They did have some big Demartis.
They've got the Souvlaki King. They're 29-16 at the moment, the Pacers, and they've been without their best player all season, which is fucking crazy. So just think about that. What? 13 games above 500, cruising along without their best player. They've got Malcolm Brogdon, who's basically the most Spursiest player who never Spursed.
Yeah, true.
Like, he basically should be a Spurs, shouldn't he, Brogdon? Like, that's weird. He was probably born in a Spurs singlet, I feel like.
Yeah, but if he went to Philadelphia... That could even give a better mix.
So I kind of want to go, they're much more the Spurs East than I'd say, like what, Atlanta were trying to be Golden State East. The Bucks were always trying to be Spurs East. And they've got Buds, who used to coach under Pop. So I don't know, like Pacers over the Bucks. I don't know, the Bucks feel a bit more Spursy than the Pacers, but the Pacers being this good without their best player feels pretty good. They're a grinded out team. I don't know, a bit tricky, but I'm still going to go with the Bucks. I'm going to go Nah, but they're very fucking close. Nice. All right, let's do some Yeah Nahs. We talked about, in terms of the All-Stars, we talked about the All-Star stuff earlier. Just to recap, the All-Star starters, Paul, in the East, you've got Giannis as the El Capitan of the East, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Trey Bomber Young, and Kemba Walker in the East. That's a very tiny backcourt. No big Simo Ben Simmons. And in the West, you've got El Capitan, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, Fast Jimmy Harden, and Kawhi. So, with all that in mind, what do you reckon? A couple of Yeah Nahs about that. Should Kemba have made the All-Star game over Kyrie? Yeah Nah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, right?
Hell yeah.
So people were yelling about this because it was like really, really close with the voting. And it's like Kyrie has played less than a third of the Nets game. So that's a huge Nah from me, dog.
And paid out on his teammates, as usual.
Do you reckon he'd go to an All-Star game and just start talking shit about them? It's like, ah, man, these motherfuckers don't know what it takes to win. I'll tell you what. And Kevin Love somewhere sitting on a beach going, yeah, you got it, Kyrie. You
tell Either me. That or he's throwing a basketball at his head.
Love it. So, yeah, fuck you, Kyrie. Next one. Does being on an 11-win team so far mean that Trae Young shouldn't be an all-star starter? Yeah, nah, Paul.
He should be starting, without a doubt. Fans voted him in. He's lightning quick. Fans love him. Yeah, got to take him.
He's a fun guy, and you want fun players in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I reckon he'll bring it up a level for the All-Star game too.
So, and this is kind of the point. I'm going to talk about this in the unpopular opinion of the day in a second. But, I mean, fuck it. Like, it doesn't matter how many games your team has won, I think, in the All-Star game. If it's the All-NBA team, I've got a problem with it. But the All-Star team, who gives a fuck? So, speaking of which, is Pascal Siakam really, really an All-Star starter over Jimmy Butler? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. He had a hell of a season last year, and he's taken it up one level from what he did last year. So, yeah, give it to him.
Yeah. So this one popped up. What I had this on, Facey, when I threw out the All-Star starters and did the post about that. And, you know, people arguing for and against Sikkim Siakam for Jimmy Butts. Like, Miami have been a surprisingly good team. But then at the same time, everyone's like, man, Toronto just lost, like, their fucking finals MVP, and they're almost as good as they were last year. And Sikkim Siakam has got better numbers all across the board than Jimmy Butts. And I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show about how Jimmy Butts' free throw rate is like this terrifying, terrifyingly high percentage of his points, where it's like, holy shit, him and Harden. Like, people talk about Harden being unwatchable. There we go. Have another beer, Jimmy. Jesus. And whereas, like, Butts takes more free throws as a percentage of his total points than even fucking Harden. So I'm okay with Siakam. I think it's fine. It's great.
I've got a feeling that Siakam's teammates might like him a little bit more than Jimmy Butts,
yeah,
too.
I'm going to talk about that. Did we talk about that in the early one? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, how's that? Jimmy Butler, he came in sixth in the player votes. Everyone thinks he's a fuckhead. So that's what you get for listening to too much country music in the fucking locker room, I'll tell you what. Next one up. Should they even bother with positions in the All-Star game? Because this is where Jimmy Butler, I reckon, got hamstrung a bit, and why you get Kemba and Trae Young in the backcourt rather than one of those guys and Jimmy Butler probably. Considering that I think out of the top 23 players who handled the ball the most so far this year, it's Butts and LeBron and then the guards. So it's like pretty clear that Jimmy Butts is playing as a guard. So should they bother with positions in the All-Star game, Paul? Yeah, nah.
Nah. If LeBron can be point guard after being shooting guard or small forward for the last 20 years of his life, then why the hell not in the All-Star game?
It is weird, right?
Yeah.
It's like, just fucking take the 10 best players. Like, it's just calling the starters, playing them whatever the fucking position you want. I don't care.
10 centers, that'd be fun.
That'd actually be way more fun. That's why, like, the skills challenge is fun, because you get to see the big dudes do fun shit. So, speaking of which, should the All-Star rosters be 15 players, you know, like actual NBA rosters, Paul? Yeah, nah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
This kills me. Fuck yes. Like, I don't know why we've come to, like, this arbitrary 12. Like, I get that you have an active 12 on your roster in an NBA game, but you do have 15 on your roster. Like, you're not going to have three players in street clothes in an All-Star game, obviously, but at the same time, like, no one's going to go out there and play 38 minutes in an All-Star game unless they're Kobe, like, or AI. And so I feel like, you know, 15 players, it opens up a little bit more. I think I talked about this during the week as well. You're going to have a couple of fun dudes who are on the bubble still, even at 15 players. But this year, we're going to have, like, dudes who are just, like, don't make it. And you're like, how does, like, Jokic or Ingram or someone like that not make it in an All-Star game who are, like, completely deserving? And the easy solution is just like 15 players. Like, who does it hurt? Fucking no one. Just do it. Makes no sense.
This is where Adam Silver could make his big stamp and, you know, have to follow on from David Stern and go, you know what? We'll make it 15.
Fuck yes. I mean, they've already done the sort of, you know, pick and choose your own teams and stuff as opposed to West versus East. So I'm on board. Let's fucking do it. All right. And Paul's yeah, nah. This is the yeah, nah you sent through earlier. Should Jingles be in the 3-point comp? Yeah, nah, fuck yes.
Oh, hell yeah. But I've got a twist for you.
I love this.
What about we allow Jingles to trash talk every player at every rack?
So, yeah, nah, yeah. And I think this should be the twist for everybody. I think if you want to trash talk, everybody should be allowed to trash talk. Like, Trae Young's in a minute. He should be able to fucking trash talk. But you just know that Jingles are going to say, hey, guess what? Took a shit in your shoe. And someone's going to be fucking what? And like just fuck up on like, you know, the money ball or some shit. It's like, guess what? Rooted your missus. Like just something like that. And he's going to go, oh, fucking Jingles. The thing is, I reckon Jingles in the 3-point comp, I would just want to see it because I just want to see if he could actually do it. Because his release is that slow and like that sort of methodical. Like, do you reckon he'd get through the entire rack in time?
Yeah, I reckon he would.
But sometimes it's a bit close run with the slower dudes.
Can you imagine Kyrie with the trash talking at the 3-point shooting competition? He wouldn't put up enough himself, but, you know, it'd still be funny shit.
So I feel like Kyrie came close to winning it, didn't he, in his rookie year or something like that? Or maybe like the year after LeBron. Yeah, anyway, I remember there was a Kyrie weekend. It was basically his coming out party. He won like the rookie sophomore game basically off his own back and won a 3-point comp or something. And so, holy shit, Kyrie's arrived. But at the same time, his trash talk would be like, hey, man, do you ever think about what real life's really about? This is all just entertainment, man. And it's like, would you fuck off? I'm trying to shoot. And you're like, bang, clunk, clunk. So you're just so fucking angry at this asshole talking some dumb shit. You're like, fuck you off. God damn it, Kyrie. Fuck me again.
But Jimmy, do you think the world's flat? Can you imagine that in the 3-point shooter contest?
I just fucking stop shooting and punch the guy. Love it. All right, let's do the unpopular opinion of the day. What do you think about this one, Paul?
Look at me.
I mean, it's not that unpopular, but I am 100% fine with Pascal Siakam making the All-Star starting spot over Jimmy Butts. 100% fine with it. Like, he's been fucking awesome. You take him off the Raptors, I think, this year, and they are not even close to being how good they are at the moment. Whereas you take Jimmy Butts off it, we've already seen it so far this season where he didn't start playing with the Heat for a while. And they were pretty fucking good. So I feel like the cumulative talent of the Miami Heat is probably better than the reigning champion Toronto Raptors, which is weird to say. But I still feel like Siakam's just been the better player all season. So I don't think it's much of a fucking argument. Pascal Siakam easily as an all-star starter over Jimmy Butts. What is surprising is that the old maple syrup sucking fucking hockey loving Canucks over there actually got him in over Jimmy Butts. Kind of superstar Jimmy Butts. Miami, good team at the moment, recognizable name. He didn't get there with the votes. It's pretty crazy.
Well, you've got Canada, plus you've also got his homeland. So, you know, he's got a bigger audience and he's appealed.
That's right.
You know, he stepped up in the playoffs, so people like him.
It's a good story too, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice.
All right, let's go to Outback Takeout. Step on in. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means, Paul? Ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's Oil Drum Cans. That's right, you can't even buy these fucking things in Australia, but we sell them fucking everywhere in the States. And you get 4-for-1 only at Fridays at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, Paul, the media shouldn't get a fucking vote in the All-Star game. We've got to do it right. We've got to do it right. We've got to pick the right players. Get the fuck out of here. It's an exhibition game for the fans. Let the fans and the players decide, and that is fucking it. And while we're at it, fuck the coaches too. Like they're seeing some fucking dudes like once, twice a year maximum. You know how many times a wider sample size of fans actually get to see rather than 30 old fucks who like are spending most of their time to outsmart all the other old fucks? Way more. So there you go. Fuck the goddamn media and fuck the coaches. It should be the fans and the players. Fitty, fitty. And that's that. Only at Outback. What do you reckon, Paul? You gonna order that one?
Hell yeah.
It's a pretty nice flame grill take, that
it
one.
It is.
I kind of reckon with that. I feel like the media getting a vote is fucking weird anyway, right? Like, it's fine if they want to have them as, like, the actual official barometer of, like, MVP and shit like that because they're meant to take, like, a bird's eye view and, sort of like, a macro idea of, like, what the NBA is. But the All-Star game is fucking for the fans. It should be voted for by the fans. Fuck the media. Who gives a shit?
Exactly right. Yeah. Take it away from them. Take it away from the coaches. Make it about the fans. And maybe their ratings will improve too.
Maybe. Fuck yeah. Love that. All right, let's do some Australian Player Watch right after. Let's hear from Dave Anderson.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. Who's been your favourite Australian in the NBA, Paul?
Big Simo, and got to love a bit Dante Exum as well.
So you were saying earlier before we started recording, you may have actually been involved with those fellas coaching-wise.
Yeah, but back when they were in primary school, they both made the state basketball team, so I had the pleasure of working with them along with my mate Chris. And, yeah, knew then. Yeah, knew back then. I think Dante averaged 35.
Holy shit.
Yeah, in his second year. Ben, we were down by 10 against New South Wales, and Ben said, nah, we're winning this game, shooting threes.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was the real deal.
Stroking it. There you go. Not bad.
Yeah.
He can shoot.
Yeah, he can. I think he's just leaving it for a Christmas package for someone.
Nice. That's fucking great. Love it. Speaking of Dante, Kangaroo Kobe, the Tarnit Terror, the Seaford Sensation. The Cavs played against Washington today, as I detailed earlier. He played 14 minutes. He had 2 points. That's a far cry from 35, Paul. Bit shit, but anyway. 1-3 shooting, 0-2 from downtown. 4 rebounds and a steal. Not bad. He's working his way, I feel like, into that Cavs team as their first guard off the bench at the moment. Not bad. And then King Daly of Mirabar in Canada. First of his name, Smasher of Tins. Only gets 6 minutes. 0 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. As they got shit pumped by Washington. 0-1 from the floor. Interesting scene, though, the all-Aussie backcourt. What do you reckon about that, Paul?
I'd like to see both of those boys in the starting lineup. Maybe that'll turn the whole season around for Cleveland.
It would come close, wouldn't it? I reckon Darius Garland has had so much fucking rope that it's kind of ridiculous. I love him. Don't get me wrong, but today he went 4 of 17. And Dante just out there cruising around. Dante, though, was an amazing minus 28 in his 15 minutes today. So, tough scene.
I could go 4 of 17 and I'm 50.
It's a rough one. Oh, it's a rough one, I'll tell you. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff was the other Aussie who vaguely sniffed the idea, but he's obviously still got his busted leg, so didn't dress once more. Bit of a shame. All right, but it's Friday, all day, Fry-yay, if you know what I mean. Let's do a bit of the old Luke Longley Memorial. Blokes who just did their bloody job. Role players, Hall of Famers. And this one is a pretty good one. Because he's from your team, Paul.
The Lakers.
It's Michael Thompson. Well, he won 2 titles with the Lakers. He was, however, a number one pick for the Portland Trailblazers, PDX Pete's Blazers. Played there for 8 years, hanging out. Bit of a gun his first 5-6 years. He's one of these classic Luke Longley Memorial blokes who just did their bloody job, where they're a bit of a star in their first 6, 7, 8 years. And then on the rest of the downslope of their career, they actually happily settle into the role-playing gig. Which not as many players, I feel like, do this this time around. You know, it's more far and few, you know, in between. Like, Vince Carter is the ideal kind of version of this now, isn't he? But anyway, so he's a gun. Gets traded for Frank Brickowski, of all people.
Frank who?
Frank Brickowski. Oh, yeah. He's a Brickowski. Who ended up immortalized playing for the my beloved Seattle Supersonics. Anyway, Michael Thompson ends up on the Lakers in 87. Gets traded there after playing half a season for the Spurs. And then basically he's just there to back up old-ass Kareem. Because everyone's going, fuck, Kareem's old. Jesus. 87, just run around crook fucking wheels. Still dropping fucking skyhooks left, right, and center anyway. And that's what Michael Thompson just did. Came off the bench. All he did was score, play a bit of D, rebounded. It was pretty good and won a couple of fucking chips. It's pretty good. Maybe not bad work.
Maybe he was the secret factor.
He might have actually been. And also, he was also the 4th number one draft pick on that team. Who would the other 3 be there, Paul?
Okay, Irvin. James Worthy.
Yep. I've already mentioned him. Kareem.
And Kareem.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking Lakers. I wasn't thinking
exactly.
Milwaukee. Yeah.
Exactly. But he was still the number one pick. So that's pretty weird. So talk about, you know, original super teams.
Yeah.
Showtime Lakers, check out.
Number one draft picks, you would think you'd be a pretty good chance of going back to back.
So the current Lakers are basically there as well, right? Because you've got LeBron, you've got AD, you've got Dwight, and if they traded for D-Rose, they'd have 4. Let's do it. Anyway, Michael Thompson, I brought him up because There was a stupid stat going around about Zion Williamson. Played one game, he's hit 4 threes already. And Big Simo Ben Simmons has played 208 games, he's hit 2. And I'm like, well, fucking Michael Thompson played 936 games and he hit 1 3 in his entire career and was the dad of one of the greatest shooters of all time, Klay Thompson. So that's a pretty dumb fucking stat that people keep talking about. So fuck him. What do you reckon, Klay? Is he the second best shooter of all time? I want to say Steph's probably number one. And I want to say Klay's probably better than everybody else as well. So
yeah, I'd agree. I think Klay, yeah, catch shoot, whereas Steph's capable of taking off the dribble and creating his own shot, whereas, yeah, Klay's catch and shoot, that's got to be almost the best in the history of the league ever.
So we talk about Reggie Miller, we talk about Ray Allen, dudes who can shoot it, stroke it, but man, like, I don't even think those dudes were as good as Klay. Like, Klay is unreal, so good on him. Michael Thompson, there you go. That's our Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role player Hall of Fame for this week. It's a good one, too. I like that one. All right, let's do a bit of Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Twitter check-in. And there was, I believe, a new Patty Mills tweet that came out today. I like that Paul's is realizing that I do this live, just going, oh, fuck, I better have a look at this one.
It's fantastic. I just wish I was that quick.
Flying by the seat of my pants. All right. So, Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Twitter check-in. I mentioned yesterday there's a great video up on Patty Mills' Twitter about how we are not makers of history, we are made by history, an MLK Jr. quote, hashtag Indigenous Night. It's an amazing, amazing video. And Patty then tweeted out the old, as a proud Indigenous Australian, I've always strongly believed in the power of identity and understanding where you come from, the place, the people, and the culture. And to be a part of Sunday's event alongside my teammates, the Spurs organisation, our fans, and the Tapalam Kuikatan Nation was an honour I'll never forget. Fucking great. I've absolutely enjoyed every second of this Patty Mills bushfire crisis hub of information, and then like the Tapalam Indigenous Night thing that he did was just fucking gross. What do you reckon, Paul?
He's definitely opening people's eyes, even in his own country, and also in the States. They're seeing a different side of the world, which is, you know, what Patty brings. He brings something special.
It really is. I keep saying it, Patty Mills for PM. And if he doesn't carry the fucking flag at the Olympics this year, I'm going to spew.
Nah, we should riot.
We should. The Creek Freak Instagram Inspiration Appreciation Society. Great one from Creaky. I think it was yesterday. The process of perfect effort and great intention will give you every chance to find success. Now, are you inspired, Paul? I'm inspired by the Creek Freak saying that.
I am always inspired by the Creek Freak. He's a phenomenal man.
So that was part of the Indigenous round for the NBL. And those Indigenous inspired jerseys are fucking great. I've actually got to get me one of those Southeast Melbourne Magic Phoenix jerseys because they're fucking awesome. Do you like the idea of the Southeast Melbourne Magic Phoenix?
The Magic Phoenix, yes. I think it's back.
Yeah. I keep yelling about it and that's how their name should be and that's how I'm going to keep referring to them. All right, let's do some game previews and picks. What do you reckon, Paul? Do you want to stick around for this?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. Game previews. Game previews. Bit of inadvertent bane. What do you reckon? So I think today we went 2 out of 3 on the picks today. Not bad. Nailed Lakers -5.5 over the Nets and Dallas -1 over Portland. I can't believe Dallas were -1 yesterday. It dropped to like -6, so not bad. Missed out on the Cavs. Thought they'd put up a bit more of a fight against Washington.
Yeah, they were pretty poor, weren't they?
Washington have got one player. Here they are crushing it. So for the year, with that 2 of 3, we are 338 of 607 in the year.
You still have a 500, that's all right.
That's all you need.
Well, you say 500 by the All-Star break, yeah, and you're right.
I'm laughing. So let's have a look at some of the odds for tomorrow's games. There's some actual real fucking ripper games on the weekend. Pretty excited by this. We've got Milwaukee. I hear that's Algonquin for the good land. In Charlotte, -13. Paul, what do you reckon? Bucks -13? I think I'll take the Bucks.
Yeah, take the Bucks.
I think they'll shit pump the Hornets. Grizzlies at Pistons. Oh, Grizz are getting 2 points in Detroit. I'm going to take the Grizz +2. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I like the Grizz.
Detroit are just kind of shit. But they did just fucking come out. Who'd they kill yesterday? And it was like really fucking Sacramento, but they're shit as well. So what are you going to do? Boston go to Orlando. Oh, it's a 2008 and 2009. Yeah. Playoff rehash. There we go.
Which Boston's going to turn up, though?
This is the weird one. They're weird. So they're 1-point favorites against Orlando. They're going to be without Tatum. I heard his groin. Maybe not Brown. So you're going to have, what, Marcus Smart, Gordy Hayward, and Kemba. Magic minus one. That's a really fucking tough one. What do you reckon, Boston or Orlando? It's basically just who do you want to win?
You got a coin?
That's basically it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Boston getting 1 point. I might just go.
Magic at home.
Magic at home. Yeah.
Air
Gordon, Vooch. Fascinating to see Vooch go against Enes the Penis Kanter. Yeah, give me Orlando minus one. Raptors at Knicks, 7.5 point favorites. The Raptors are. I've taken that already, so that's already gone.
I don't think anyone would argue with you.
Jesus, Kings at Bulls. Ah, it's the John Sammons Bowl. Love this. Bulls are 2 point favorites at home. I just can't trust the Kings, so I might have to take the Bulls there.
Yeah, Zachy Levine going off.
Yep. Clippers versus Heat. Clips 2 point favorites on the road in Miami.
Which Clippers team's going to turn up again? Because you know they got the same psychological problems that the Boston Celtics have got.
So we talked about Montrezl Harrell at the start of this show and how he was kind of like, you know, but man, shit's a bit fucked up here. And it's like, yeah, no shit. And you're about to be traded, I reckon. Clippers Heat in Miami. Will they have a bit of the old South Beach flu? Will Kawhi rock up and just be like, I don't really care. Hey, 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 hey. And kick their ass. I kind of like the Heat in this.
Yeah, I'll be going with the Heat too.
Heat plus two. Getting 2 points at home. I'll take that. Houston at Minnesota. Ooh. Rockets minus five. They got the monkey off their back. Broke their losing streak. Minnesota are up and down. I don't think the Wolves have got enough of the enough scoring to keep up with the Rockets.
Rusty might come out with a bit of a statement game after not being a selected all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go the Rockets.
And Harden's probably actually due for a halfway efficient game.
Maybe if he didn't go to the strips, he might be right.
Yeah, what are the Rippers like in Minnesota? I don't think they're going to be great.
It's too cold.
Too much cheese. That's Wisconsin, up the road anyway, close enough. Give me the Rockets minus five. Denver, 3.5 point underdogs in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Zion fever is here, and it is real. The Nuggets have barely got any fucking starters left. They've got Joker, and they've got Will the Thrill, and that's it. I think I might have to take the Pelicans minus 3.5.
Yeah, I think Pelicans at home, Zion fever.
First win of Zion, the Zion era. Give me that. Hawks at OKC. OKC are favorited by 10.5 points. I think that might be too many. The Hawks tend to hang with teams, or they either hang with teams or get the shit kicked out of them. It's like one of the two.
Yeah. Steven Adams back yet?
I doubt he would be. He got hit pretty fucking hard in that Clint Capella collision yesterday.
Yeah.
10.5. I think they might stick with him. I'll take the Hawks.
Yeah, and Trey, you know, be pretty excited after making his first All-Star game. So right.
OKC might win that, but I don't know if they'll cover the 10.5. So
no.
Take the Hawks. Suns at Spurs. Oh, shit. It's the 08 Western Conference Finals rematch. Wait, is it 08? Semis, yeah, that's right. Suns, Spurs. Spurs 4 point favorites at home. They just beat the Suns the other day, didn't they? Yeah. They're always close, these games. I think I'll take the Spurs at home.
Yeah, no bangers. You got to take the Spurs.
Yeah. Pacers, Golden State is the last one tomorrow. Indy are 5.5 point favorites there. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid.
It's not much in terms of the old Indy minus 5.5. Yeah, it's pretty easy, I think. It should be a lot more favorited. Nice one. So that's tomorrow's games, and we'll fly through the rest and just go the win-losses. So Sunday we've got Dallas, Utah. Who do you like there? That's
Utah
a fucking
home.
Ripper game,
Utah
though.
Utah at home. That's it, yeah.
Well, actually, didn't think of that as one of the best ones, but that's fucking great.
Yeah, that is quality game.
Jingles versus fucking Luka. Brooklyn at Detroit. I think that's a road win for Brooklyn to snap their losing streak. Because Detroit just suck.
Regularly.
Chicago at Cleveland. Cleveland, that's right. I think I'll take Chicago. Can't trust him, but...
Yeah, you got it.
OKC at Minnesota. Ooh, back-to-back for both teams.
OKC.
Lakers at Philly. Absolute fucking rip snorter of the game this, even without Joel Embiid. I think I might take the Lakers.
My heart says Lakers, but my head says Philly.
So this one's fucking tearing you apart, Paul.
It is indeed.
All right. So what do you reckon, Lakers or Philly? You can trust your head or your heart.
I'm going with my head, Philly.
All right. I'm going to take the Lakers. Monday, Houston at Denver. That's awesome, too. If Denver have any players left, I'm going to take Houston, I think, of that one, on the road. But actually, Denver, a lot of weed, rippers. A couple of fucking, it'll be a red-eye game for old mate fucking Fast Jimmy Harden. I'll take Denver at home, I think. Just randomly pull one out.
Yeah, they're due for it.
Toronto at San Antonio. The DeMar DeRozan ball.
I go the Spurs at home.
Yeah, I think I might too. That is tough one. I feel like San Antonio beat Toronto in Toronto just recently too, though, but I'll take San Antonio at home. Atlanta hosting Washington. That's a fucking tricky one. Atlanta won 11 games, but I feel like they might win that one.
Yeah. Bradley Beal can only go so many games by himself, can't he?
Well, Atlanta plays zero defense, though, so fucking Beal might have 60 in that. I guess it involves the rest of the team rocking up, though, still. But I'll take Atlanta. Phoenix at Memphis. Ooh, that's a fun one. Might go the Grizz.
The Grizz. Ja Morant stepping it up.
Boston at New Orleans. Do you reckon Zion can keep it going?
Oh, that'd be third game inside a week.
He might not even play.
Yeah, he might be due for a rest.
I reckon that'd be Boston. Brooklyn at the Knickerbockers of New York City. I'll take Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. LA Clippers at Orlando. Ooh. Again, a bit of a tricky one. I think I'll take the Clippers at Orlando. They should be fine.
It depends if they go to Disneyland between the two games.
So that Disney World there is fucking great. We went there because we were down in Florida. It's fucking great. You can actually drink at the Epcot Center. Disney World itself is fun. It's good stuff. Final game, Indy at Portland. Indy on a road trip, West Coast. Do you reckon they can win that in Portland?
Not likely.
I'll take Portland as well. Nice one. Holy shit. There you go. So, Paul, all those picks were brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Where do you go? You go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia to join up, get around their NBA specials. Their payouts are fucking grouse. And their odds are always really, really good. So make sure you get around playup.com.au/NBA Australia. And Paul, how was that?
That was fantastic, Jimmy.
You jumped in.
Loving it.
Hanging out.
Ready for the next Kickstarter.
On the show for 31 fucking minutes. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Fun stuff. Did you learn anything?
Just purely entertained as always, Jimmy.
I haven't been as fucking expressive as I usually would be because I'm trying to keep fucking track of stuff, and also I'm on any inflammatories and I've had a couple of beers, so just trying not to lose fucking track of everything. So there you go. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Jimmy. All keep right. up the good work.
Will do. All right, and that's it for today's show, you little ripper. That's it for the week. Unreal. So we'll be back on Monday all day with all the usual dumbassery. So what do you reckon, Paul? What do you do? Do you follow NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG? That's all the socials, isn't it? Yeah, we're all over the socials.
Cover all of them, mate.
Get around NBAAustralia.com, playup.com.au/NBAAustralia. All your NBA shekel needs. Make some money, would you? Check us rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, already said that one. Whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. How's that? No. Not bad off the top of my head. Rating reviews always fucking help, so do that, would ya? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, Faking the Bends. It's a rip snorter of a song, but go check out the new band House Hats. Debut album Running Out of Time is the best Australian album of the last 12 months. Go listen to it right now or I'll bash ya. Also, big thanks to Josh, you are Delorentis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear here at NBA Australia. Give them all a smash from Bandcamp and Facey and Triple J on Earth. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a rerun of Cooking with Bainesy. I love this one, so I'm just going to play it because I can't be fucked doing a new one. All right, thanks for coming on, Paul. This was fun.
Thanks, Jimmy.
And we will catch you on Monday, dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Zon!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, yeah, yes.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Oh, look at you over there. Oh, yes. I see you over there, Cheryl. You're here every week. Oh, love you too. Oh, love you too, hon. Yes, look at you. Oh, this is great. Oh, thank you. Come on. Oh, settle down, settle down. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for that. That's ripper. All right, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. That's it. Cooking with Bainesy. I love this. And in this here episode, we are going to whip you up one of my absolute favorite Australian classics that you can have whenever. You can have it for brekkie. You can have it for lunch. You can have it for tea. It is that absolute modern Australian classic. It's avocado toast. Oh, yes. That's right. It's an absolute Aussie classic now, mate. And after I got this recipe from my little mate, Deli, I love me some avo toast. And, oh, maybe not as much as my mate, Deli. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's easy as, mate. I punch through enough of this that it definitely helps me keep up this physique. You know what I mean? Every brekkie, I'm on this train. So I reckon you better jump on board. All right. So it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and just grab a loaf of whatever bread you like to toast up. Me, I like a bit of multigrain. I like a little bit more crunch in my toast. Just like the screens I set for the Celtics, a bit of crunch is what I like. Then I grab a ripe old avo, grab a lemon on your way out, and away we go. All right, now, and this is very important. A lot of people try to do fancy shit to avo toast. And look, you can if you really, really want to get all fancy pantsy. You can put some goat's cheese on there. You can put some tomatoes in there. You can put a bit of red onion if you feel like it. Sprinkle some of that bullshit ducker, which I think is just fucking crumbs or whatever the fuck shit it is. But anyway, all you actually need to do is keep it simple as, mate. Toast, avo, bit of lemon. So it's simple. Fang your bread in the toaster. Then sit back, crack a tin, and let it all get nice and browned up. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is either. When you're cracking a tin and cooking with Bainesy, it's always time for a tin. So, now, slice up your avo, dump it into a bowl, scoop it out. Yep, there you go. Scoop her out into a bowl. Now, mush that bastard up into a paste. Just mush her up. There you go. Just mush her up. Fuck it. There you go. Yep. Now, once that's done, it's all mushed up, all nice. Get your knife. Now, your toast is done. She's popped up. Get your toast out. Now, slather that avo all over your toast about, you go 1 to 2 inches thick, I reckon. That's how I usually go, eh? Absolute, just smother it in avo. Beautiful, look at that. Then drizzle a bit of lemon on top, and away we go. Just bloody well, look at that. Put a bit of salt and pepper on top, and all you have to do then, get your bloody munch on. Oh, how good is that? It is an absolute bloody ripper of a treat. The best bit is, it's good for any time of day. Brekkie, avo toast. Lunch, avo toast. Two, avo toast. It's just bloody delicious, mate. And look, of course, you got to make sure you get your avos when they're in season, or else you'll never be able to afford a bloody house. All right, how easy was that? Thanks to my little mate, Deli, for the recipe. And I hope yous all enjoy it too. All right, avo taste. Legendary. All right, tune in next week for a brand new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.